John,
Yeah.
I'm your number one fan. I know where you sleep.
That's pretty strange.
And this is Stranger Still.
Oh.
And I am not John Began. That's pretty good. That's pretty funny. That's a pretty good joke. So, John.
Yeah.
I feel like I start everything with "So, John."
That's "So, John."
That's "So, Jonathan." It's the future I can see.
Was that like Mad Machines?
No, it's the "That's So Raven" on Disney Channel.
Oh, cool. Have you seen "That's So Wes Craven"?
That'd be awesome. Dude, that sounds like a new Disney Channel show.
Way darker than you think it would be.
Yeah. Did you know that the movie Scream was supposed to be a parody movie, kind of like Scary Movie, except like halfway through, Wes Craven realized that it wasn't a spoof. It was just like actually kind of scary, so he just turned it into a scary movie.
Didn't know that.
Is why you still have characters like Matthew Lillard in there that's just like...
A dumby stoner?
Yeah, he's a dumby stoner.
Jeez.
Anyway. So I have an interesting story for you, John. Which is that I taught my dad how to use the podcast app on his iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Because he used to drive 5 hours to go to work.
Oh.
Not to the CD store. And then come back on the weekend. So he'd drive 10 hours a week just so he could work. And I was like, you need to listen to podcasts. It'll make it go a lot faster. So fast forward like a year. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go record a podcast with my buddy John. You know John. And he's like, oh, I can listen to that.
I've got the skill set to obtain that.
Yeah. And then I told him that we had recorded. And he's like, oh, can I listen to it yet? I was like, no, not yet. He's like, oh, isn't that up on the podcast thing yet? And I was like, no. I just thought it was funny that we don't have any episodes yet. And we already have, like, our number one fan is my dad.
Yeah, that's how it should be. I like how it works, though, that the second we hit stop on the computer, upload it to podcast app.
Old people don't know how things work. Also, my dad's listening to this right now, so sorry for calling you old.
Yeah, Jesus, Louise. Jesus, Louise.
But, John, you used to be in a band.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you for some fan stories.
Yeah. I think something that was pretty neat was how fans turned into friends.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we did in my band was we filmed a music video. Two music videos. One of them was underwater. So what we did was we bought a bunch of old guitars and we jumped in a pool and we filmed with them underwater. We got an underwater speaker so that we could lip sync properly, underwater camera housing. And then afterwards, we're like, well, this is a garbage guitar. It's covered in agua. And we mailed it to Canada.
To a fan?
To a fan.
Yeah.
And she didn't know what she was getting. And she filmed herself opening it.
Yeah.
And the manliest tears you've ever known.
From you?
Flowed from both of my tear ducts.
Wow.
Simultaneously down my cheeks.
I was hoping for like a crazy fan story.
Oh, well.
Are you going to start crying now? I think I see you crying right now.
It
really touches you.
Humidity in my eyes. Just very humid.
It's just raining on my eyes.
So here's another one. There was a girl that... Her name's Larissa, and she's a friend of mine. And her mom's like, hey, I want you to play my daughter's birthday party. Trick question. I live in Canada. So we were like, well, we have to get passports. So we went and we all got passports. And I'm like, that's going to be really expensive. She's like, I don't care. You guys are great. You deserve it. I love my daughter. Come on up.
Man.
So we got our passports. We drove past the Canadian border. And we showed up at her house, and we had spaghetti and meatballs with her family at the dining room table. We slept over, and the next day we played a set for her and like
Weird.
Five of her friends. And then we just all became awesome friends, and we drove home.
That's pretty awesome.
And I had like a bunch. She brought like, they were like maple leaf cookies and like something called Beaver Tails. I still don't remember what it is.
Cool. So what I'm getting from your story is that people will do weird things when they're a fan of something.
Pay for a group of six people to eat spaghetti meatballs at their house.
Yeah, in Canada.
In another country. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
And she's
funny.
Awesome.
So what's up with fans?
If you want to understand what a fan is, you got to really start from the beginning. When Aristotle was the king of the Roman Empire.
I don't think that's
he
true.
He had a large, large fan base. But the way that this originated was he would start giving his speeches about philosophy.
Uh-huh.
So he'd say things like, I think that lead is good for you.
Uh-huh.
We should eat lead.
Yep.
And then people start eating lead,
mm-hmm.
and they died.
Yep.
And then the people that didn't die were his fans.
Oh.
And over time...
that's why the elemental symbol for lead is PB, because it stands for fan base with a PH.
Yeah, yeah. It used to start with a PH.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to cut you off there, because Aristotle is a clothing company, but there are many ways that fandom shows itself. We could do like a whole like singular podcast based around the idea of fandom. And I'm sure they're out there. Like people talk about, there's like blogs dedicated to cosplay and stuff. There's websites for fan fiction, forums, like a myriad of things to show your love for a singular thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it could be the thing about fans is that it can be as simple as like, hey, I like Doctor Who. Or it could be like, I'm in front of David Tennant's house in the bushes with binoculars watching him eat spaghetti and meatballs.
And I, too, am covered in spaghetti sauce.
And I, too, have been rubbing spaghetti sauce all over my body.
Yep.
That's disgusting in a good way. So, we could go on for hours. Like I said, there's fan fiction, there's cosplay. I don't know if you know these things called fan sites, where people make websites dedicated to their things. I've definitely never done that.
Yeah.
Specifically not for a Korean cartoon about a rabbit and a plunger. I wouldn't do that.
No.
There's comics, you know. There's a million things. Like sports fans, they go to the sporting events, and the really extreme ones will like paint their body with letters and stuff.
Yep.
And I'm not a sports guy, but I know that you've been to
letters, like they did for Aristotle.
Right. And then they die.
Just lead paint, right.
And then they'd
write, "That's my boy."
Whoops.
Hey.
They're willing to die for it. We could go on for hours. Yeah. That's my point. Fandom is huge, right? There are businesses dedicated to exploiting fandom to get money.
MLB, NBA, FIFA.
But we're going to focus on one thing today, which is I want to know what's up with fandom. And I know you want to know too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that you wanted to know what ancient fandom was like.
Yes.
And let me know if this sounds familiar.
Cavemandom.
It was cave fandom?
Cavemandom?
Oh, cavemandom. Let me know if this sounds familiar. There's a small subset of people, and they all find a commonality by having an emotional connection with someone or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have posters of this someone in the room. Maybe they write stories about them and this person hanging out and like going on adventures. Maybe they like follow them around literally or figuratively.
Like stuff you should know is Tuk Tuk?
Yes, like Tuk Tuk. But does that sound familiar to you?
Of posters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like an NSYNC fangirl or something.
Sounds like or fanboy.
Or
fan person.
Religion.
Whoa.
So this is how I'm going to cheat my way into going back 300,000 years. There are archaeologists that have found ritual burial sites from Neanderthals way, way, way back, which suggests that there was some sort of worshiping of a higher power. We don't know what that is. They also found some artifacts that suggested like pottery and stuff,
mm-hmm.
With like stuff carved on them, all that kind of stuff, wall paintings, that sort of thing, that suggest some sort of worship in a higher being, which in my example is fandom. So,
Mayan idols and gods.
Right. Yeah. See, that's people that dedicate themselves to this one thing, and they love it. They try to kill other people if they don't love it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's fandom.
Yeah, just like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, just like Justin Bieber.
It's really sad.
All that stuff, deaths. Yeah. Yep. Stop Bieber killing deaths. People. As closely linked as they are, psychology and, for the most part, society separates the two. So I'm going to separate the two. but I wanted to cheat my way back just for you because I know you were curious. Modern fandom, as it's so frequently called now, was first recognized with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's stories of...
Conan O'Doyle, the late night host, right?
Yes. No, Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
He did Sherlock Holmes. So a lot of people don't know this, but Sir Doyle, he didn't hate it. He was bored with writing Sherlock stories. He thought they were boring. So he killed off Sherlock, and people were pissed, to say the least. They were in the streets wearing black armbands to protest his death. They were they're just furious.
Yeah.
As if it was like a real person that died. And then wearing a black armband would bring them back somehow.
Right.
Because that happens.
But, you're saying he wasn't real?
John.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah?
You saying he wasn't real?
So you know how there's a TV show called Sherlock?
Yeah.
That's fictional.
Yeah.
That's not real. Benedict Cumberbatch is a different person.
Okay.
So people were writing. They actually started writing fan fiction mm-hmm. back in the day to carry out some of the mysteries that Sherlock never solved. There were some offhanded comments that Sir Doyle would write into his stories, and people would turn those into full stories featuring Sherlock Holmes because they needed Sherlock Holmes. Now, I will tell you, eventually... Are you actually crying?
No, it's dusty. It's just dust.
He actually did bring Sherlock back after like a decade. He brought him back because he went on to write, when he killed Sherlock, he went on to write historical stories.
Right.
And people didn't buy those.
Sure, because if there's anything I learned so far, fandom is tied to religion. So Sherlock is like Jesus. He's resurrected.
Yes.
Yeah.
After 3 days.
Yeah, he was in a tomb.
By and large, I'd say that fandom hasn't really changed a whole lot. We still have fan fiction. We still have people that get really mad when, like, their favorite character on Walking Dead dies or something like that. Mm-hmm. Especially Game of Thrones. I haven't watched it, so I can't give any spoilers, but I know a lot of people die. That's all I know about that show.
Yeah, I know there's that guy in that crown.
There is a guy in crown. There's a chair made of thrones.
You know what was really neat? Was watching it for the first time for 5 minutes. And thinking that it was like a historically accurate thing.
Until dragons showed
up. And then dragons showed up. And I was like, okay, so it is. And then I kept watching. And then they were like, yo, what's good? It's your boy, Prince
Albert Steen.
Simon. Okay. And I was like, they didn't talk like that back then.
No, that's a modern thing. Fandom, though, has definitely changed like in the last 5 years or maybe 10 years with quit licking your lips.
Gotta make sure they're moist for the microphone. Go on.
Now we just lost all of our listeners.
Wait, we're alone now.
Now we can tell all of our deep, dark secrets.
Yeah.
So fandom hasn't changed much up until like 10 years ago with the introduction of the internet. Largely social media has had a big influence on fandom. Television, if you want to go back to like the ancient times, television was a big part in boosting fandom, but we still haven't got to the meat of it, the brain meat of fandom.
Mm-hmm. The brain meat.
So I'm going to do my best to explain fandom to you because it's ginormous. And the other problem is that there are so many schools of thought that when you start looking into fandom, there's like websites dedicated to the study of fandom. And then over here, there's an article from some... psychologist at a university that agrees with everything this website says. So there's like so many clashing thoughts on fandom that it's hard just to tackle them.
Sure. But as far as you said, like social media.
Yeah.
That's become a big role.
Uh-huh.
So I actually brought with me one of the first tweets.
Yep.
That helped with, you know.
Oh, okay.
Fans.
Yeah.
So it's from at Aristotle.
Yep.
And it says, "What is a friend? A single soul dwelling in two bodies." Hashtag follow Friday at Plato. So that's...
Thank you for digging that research up. So what I'm going to do here, though, is I'm going to pare it down to what I found most psychologists agree on. But I got another story for you.
Okay.
You've heard this story before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my wife on blast. So I'm sorry, Shelby. I was a huge fan of a band called The Format.
Mm-hmm.
They had two albums, and I played it for Shelby. She loved them, not as much as me, but who's counting? So after the two albums, I was like, I wish that they had more music. So I went on to see if like any of the band members had gone into other projects. And a couple guys, especially the lead singer, and I think a few other people, went on to a band some people might know as Fun. They're kind of popular. They had like a half a hit.
They had a whole hit.
Maybe they had two? Like four hits.
Maybe five?
Like seven.
Okay.
My
boy Nate. That's Nate. His name's Nate.
Nate. It's Nate. We buddies. So I thought that I would play Fun for Shelby. They had one album out at the time called Aim and Ignite, and I played it for her, and she's like, I'm not really into it. Until she went to a Paramore concert. I was at work at the time. She called me up, and it was like during an intermission or something. She's like, yeah, the concert's really good, but this opener band, you're going to love them. It's this band. They're called Fun. And I was like, you're kidding me, right? And she's like, no, they were so good. And I was like, I played them for you. What is this? And she's like, oh, well, they were really good. So.
So coy.
So coy. So for years, I used to tell this story just to embarrass her and all that. But after researching fandom, I feel kind of bad because one of the main things that drives being a fan is an emotional connection to like a performer or this thing or, yep.
So it took an emotional experience of a live performance rather than just being shown the audio.
Right, right. So I already had an emotional connection with The Format because I connect with music more than she does.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, Shelby. But like, you like four bands. Come on. She's going to hate me. But when she went to the concert, she's a big fan of Paramore, and then she got to see Fun play live and had that emotional connection. And there's actually studies done. This is more so toward athletes, but I think it applies to all sorts of performers. So when you are observing a performer, you actually feel the hormonal changes and responses that the performer is going through as well. So specifically with athletes, you'll feel their stress. You get to feel their anxiety just as much as the actual performer does.
Yeah. And that was something I took acting classes in college.
Yeah.
And my professor, this is real, like,
this isn't goof time.
No, like most of the things I say are the goofest goofs you've ever goofed.
Yeah.
The first year was just training yourself to actually feel emotions,
uh-huh,
to be a good actor.
Because people feel that empathy or right, that excitement.
That's
or
part of being a good performer. And he used to say, right before we go up on stage, I don't want to see any effing acting up there.
And just raw emotion?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's very smart of him. Because that emotional connection is... is closely linked with dopamine, which, do you know what dopamine does?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes you dope and mean. Dope and mean.
No, it's...
That's where it came from.
Dopamine is...
Sometimes I get dopamine released, and I'm like, I'm so fly right now. Ain't nobody can mess with me. That's why Kanye is such a jerk.
Yeah, because he's got
a lot of dopamine.
He's got so much dope in him.
He's so dope, but he's so mean.
Yeah. I'm gonna let you finish with that goof, but... We have a podcast to do.
Okay. Yeah. Go.
So dopamine is actually the neurotransmitter regulator for the reward and pleasure centers of your brain. So when you are feeling like excitement or happiness, your dopamine levels are going up. So as your dopamine levels are high, it's creating that emotional connection that is required to make you a fan, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I was researching this. There's an article on Vulture where a psychiatrist, Dr. Sudipa Varma, was talking about why we form these connections. He said that he or she said, quote, it's a form of escapism. We're living vicariously through these characters and the world that's been created because we identify with them. And sometimes these things can serve their purpose if we're bored and not feeling stimulated in our day-to-day lives. So if you live a boring life, which I know you do.
Yeah, yeah.
With your eight dogs at home.
Right.
It's got to be boring.
Eight dogs, picking them up from the airport, mm-hmm, working at a radio station, all that. Yeah,
yeah.
Boring.
Being a vegan. Doesn't get much boring than that.
I'm a liberal, vegan, democratic, white male.
Remember that one
feminist
time?
Go on.
You know how I know you're boring? One time you made me a vegan pizza roll, and it tasted like Play-Doh. Not
which brings
nope,
me
nope
to the street by Play-Doh. One of his early ones. It says, "People are like dirt. They can either nourish you and help you grow as a person, or they can stunt your growth and make you wilt and die." Hashtag yes. Deep Friday.
I feel like that one was specifically directed at me, John.
You're gonna talk, or you're just gonna look at me?
So Dr. Varma is specifically kind of talking about fictional characters, but it relates to like reality TV as well and performance, arts and sports and that sort of thing. As we're escaping into these other realities or whatever the event is, our dopamine levels are going to rise as we re-enter our boring, quote boring, and quote non-stimulated lives. Our dopamine levels are going to drop. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about dopamine is that your brain loves it because it's the reward and pleasure centers of your brain. And that's sort of where...
Hold on one sec.
Yeah.
I forgot we're on the same channel. All right.
And that's sort of where fandom comes from. Your brain wants to chase those dopamine levels. Dopamine is also tied with addiction, which is where you get drug addictions, that sort of thing. It's kind of the same thing with fandom. So your brain's going to go out of its way to find those dopamine levels. And we've all kind of been there. Let's not lie to ourselves. Maybe after a long binge of, say, Twin Peaks, mm-hmm. We immediately go like seek out trivia about the show, some behind-the-scenes stuff. Maybe we start dabbling in other media forms of it. Like after watching Firefly, I went out and bought all the comic books and read all the comic books, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, because dopamine is not only attached to media, but like everything. Like we have big dumb baby brains,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, is this good or bad? And if it's good, it's like, flush, 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 flush. All the dopamine comes out.
Yeah.
Like you know, yeah. Like I eat a good sandwich.
Yeah.
A pretty good sandwich.
So many dopamine right now.
Oh, you got some basic you know, like a New York salted rye.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe throw on some Roma tomatoes.
Uh huh.
Some spinach.
Yeah.
Some red onion, no white onion.
Yeah.
You want it that crisp. Maybe some vegan mayo.
Yeah.
You put that together, you eat that, you get that dopamine rush. You're like, oof. Yeah, oof. That's good. And then you're done and you want to look up more about it. You end up Google image searching some sandwiches. You print them out, you hang them on your wall. You show you frame them, you put them on your desk. You get a lunch break, you eat more sandwiches. Go back to your computer.
Yeah.
You print them out more.
Yeah.
You know, you put them in your wallet.
Yeah.
Little 3x6.
Yeah. You're not far off. Your brain tries to soak up as much as it can around this thing that it.
Sorry, I think I just had a seizure. What were you saying?
Did you black out?
Yeah, I blacked out for a second.
I think your cousin came in.
Okay.
Juan came in. From New York. But you're not wrong. Your brain will try to soak up as much of this thing that it found so much dopamine in to get more dopamine. And one way that this happens is through...
drugs.
Well, no. Well, maybe. Actually, my answer that I was looking for was community. This is where fandom comes from. Fandom is a community of fans.
Right.
So community not only gives you basically a constant feed of that dopamine, of that thing that you're a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that it has forged friendships. Sometimes the creators of performers themselves will react to, reactions or the mood of these communities. But the communities also help one feel as though your emotions and your longings for this thing are justified, which in... human psychology really goes a long way.
Yeah, and if there's enough people, that's why movies like The Force Awakens come out.
Right.
Because
people want
demanded it and wanted it, and the Disney one makes some cash.
And it wasn't bad.
No, it was good.
It was really good.
Very good.
And you finally saw it.
Yep.
So there's a fandom studies .wikispaces.com, but they put it really elegantly that said, any hindrance that might have been there is gone in a community. So any hesitation that you have towards loving this thing is just gone when you're in a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can imagine how modern technology has affected this, right?
Sure.
On Facebook, there are thousands of fan groups for maybe just one topic. Like Harry Potter, I'm sure, has like a million fan groups or something like that, where they just post really bad memes all day. What's your favorite meme?
Excuse you?
What's your favorite meme?
Meme?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Do you know what a meme is? It's those pictures with the dumb letters on them.
I got my meme and my peeps.
Mama and Papa?
My meme and my pepe. And they raised me as a little boy.
As a little boy.
My favorite meme is my own meme because she made me.
Like, as a grown man, I know that you are a fan of Justin Bieber, but for a long time you were very quiet about it until you found a group of really old dudes like you who are fans of Justin Bieber.
Here's the thing, though, buddy. It's easy to confuse because at first my fandom was so specific that I felt like I had to keep it in the closet. Like, I couldn't tell anybody.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't him himself. Like, he's great. Whatever. Uh-huh. It was called bieberbrows.blogspot.com.
Oh.
Yeah. He didn't stencil, but naturally, there was a good arc to those Bieber brows.
And, right.
It was just something that, like, I just ate up. Like, I would just...
Oh, boy.
I would take stencil. They had the print under the printout section of the page.
Okay.
You print out, like, stencils of the Bieber brows.
Lord. Okay.
So you, too, can have Bieber brows.
Sure. You, too, the band.
Never mind. Just go on.
So, John, I learned something new about you today.
Uh-huh.
And I think I want to forget it. So, fan sites. We already talked a little bit about fan sites. There's forums where people can talk about the thing they love. They can post their fanfic. I've known people that role play in these universes, like Star Trek on forums and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they get a little sexy with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What?
I know you've never been there. Definitely not for Barney and Friends role-playing action.com.
Is that real?
No, I don't really, know. I don't want to know. I don't want I'm that on really my Google upset. Search history.
I'm really upset right now.
Wait, you can be a purple dinosaur too.
Ugh.
I love you.
BJ and Baby Bop. Go on. This is going to be double deleted. Not only am I going to mute this track, it's going to be gone from the podcast.
Come on, that was funny. We also have conventions for literally everything now.
Yeah.
Like Twitch has its own convention. I heard of one the other day that was like something about unicorns that I never, it was like TED Talks, but more swearing involved.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it, but there's a convention for TED Talks where you can swear.
Have you been to the Convection convention?
Is that like for convention?
Yes, it's for ovens.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting.
No, yeah.
Do they like showcase the new convection technology?
No.
What do they show off?
It's like, that would be too much. It's more like you watch videos of them.
Oh, okay. You just see videos of convection ovens.
Yeah.
Are there guest speakers?
Yeah, there's guest speakers. Like, they'll talk about, like, good meals they made and stuff.
Uh-huh. That seems like they would have one first annual convection convention and then never again.
Yeah, there was only one.
At these conventions, like the big ones, they have celebrities where the fans can actually go ask them questions or hug them or get their autograph or whatever to just talk to these people.
Yeah.
And one of the really weird things that's evolved lately is the introduction of YouTube and more specifically Twitch, where there's this community of fans that's closer to the people that they admire or the subject matter that they're fans of than ever. Because the creators or the people on these streams get sometimes real-time feedback and get to react to what their fans are enjoying or what they're hating, or maybe they ask you to play Quiplash and you hate that game, but you play it anyway because your fans want it.
Yeah.
Not speaking from experience. So then when you're on Twitch, it's really popular because then you can bring your fans and play with you, which kind of brings me into my next point, which there's like this feedback loop of people wanting to get their feedback heard by these people.
Uh-huh.
And then like the streamer or the content creator will react to it. So they'll keep doing it to get that recognition, which is actually where the meme, which I know what you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Senpai.
You got a meme and a pops.
You got a meme and a pops. I don't want to know what meme gave birth to you. Probably
hey.
Good guy
hey.
Greg.
Hey.
Yeah, good guy Greg. That's a good one for
That's
you.
That's my mother. You're talking about my mother.
Your mom's name is Greg. Hey.
Well, you shame mouth a little bit. Huh?
It gave birth to this meme called Senpai Noticed Me, which is where oh my God. This whole thing kind of further exemplifies the whole dopamine thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Senpai Noticed Me is this thing where maybe you're typing in a Twitch chat and you ask how the streamer's doing, and they're like, I'm doing well, Garchomp420. How are you? And you're like, oh my God, Senpai Noticed Me! Because they reacted to you.
Hey, bro.
Right? Yeah.
420.
Get lit. So the reaction right there is a surge of dopamine and thusly an emotional reaction.
So it's like being brought up onto the stage.
Right, it's like being, yeah,
but on the internet.
Yeah, it's like being brought up onto the stage, but on the internet. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting to see how fandom has evolved in the last 10 years and how stagnant it was since, say, Sherlock up until...
The first tweet.
But no, it's evolving, and as that wall gets smaller, it keeps changing as these content creators or these performers are reacting to their fans, and I think that it's probably going to keep getting weirder.
Yeah.
Which could be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Especially for some celebrities.
Like, what's next?
Yeah.
You've already got, like...
You got drones coming up here, too? Like, what if these drones are just, like, spying on these people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta get my Bieber brows somehow.
Yeah. Gross.
Ancient times, people worshipped religion, which, over thousands of years, turned into worshipping fictional characters and real people that had the same emotional connections to their dopamine.
Uh-huh.
Like Sherlock Holmes, which evolved into modern fandom.
Like?
On the internet.
Justin Bieber.
Like Justin Bieber and his Bieber brows.
Right.
Which evolved into Twitch conventions.
And convection conventions.
Convection conventions. Right.
Good. You learned something.
Bro.
I'm proud of you.
Check out my new oyster.
What's your oyster?
It's got three burners on top, convection oven on the inside. It's at the 350. Whew. Man, you burn anything up with that.
That got, like, real. Anyway. Good job. I don't know if you were paying attention.
What?
Good joke.
Thanks. I've been thinking about that before we even showed up. Thanks for setting that up.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Don't be a creep. Or a stranger.
Or a stalker. Feel free to follow us on Twitter at StrangerStill. Go to our website. StrangerStillShow.com. We have a Facebook page if you want to search that and follow us on there.
And leave us a couple of views and reviews.
Yeah, that'd be nice of you guys.
On iTunes.
We're starting out here, so we want you guys to tell us what you think. And if you have any questions that you want answered on this show, let us know. We want to hear them, and we want to answer them.
On all those places.
On all those places. So I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this was Stranger Still.